It's time for your morning pep talk. Here's Ruthie C. with the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. I need to laugh.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C. Thank you so much for joining me on this Monday morning. I am very grateful to welcome my next guest to the Pensacola Expert Panel, Rachel Burns. And we are here, Rachel, to talk all about the Escarosa Suicide Prevention Coalition. And good morning, and thank you for joining me this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So I am newly acquainted with the coalition and the work that you are doing in our community. Would you mind, Rachel, sharing a little bit about the mission of the coalition and your role with this work?
Yeah, absolutely. So the mission of the coalition is primarily to reduce suicide in our community, and to do that by coming together interested stakeholders from around the community, organizations, agencies, nonprofits, but also interested individuals such as attempt survivors and loss survivors, to bring their expertise so that we can work together to reduce, and my hope would be eventually eliminate suicide. I know that's a very bold goal, but certainly reduce it in our area.
That sounds like an incredible mission, and you know, you have to have a lofty vision to be moving towards it, right? So eliminate suicide in our area. So tell me a little bit, Rachel, about how this coalition came to be.
So it came to be because there was really just a growing interest in our area about addressing suicide. And I was working in suicide prevention at Pensacola State College. I still assist with that. And it was something that I realized there was a big gap in the community. The more I became involved in suicide prevention on the college campus, the more I realized we needed something in the community. And the college administration were very gracious. They allowed me to hire an AmeriCorps VISTA, which is kind of like, AmeriCorps is kind of like the Peace Corps, but in the U.S. And that VISTA position was able to assist me in gathering people to the table and starting this coalition back in 2018.
That I have heard before about the AmeriCorps VISTAs. It sounds like they are just heaven sent at just the right moment when you need help and you need capacity. And love that PSC supported you in your pursuit of, you know, building that awareness. It takes time and effort, right, to coordinate even just calendars to get the right people to the table, let alone to lead a productive conversation about it. So how is that looking with like the different players? Now you're a couple years in. Are you feeling like there's some traction gained, and how's it going?
Yeah, so we definitely have gained some traction. Of course, just like everybody, I think their experience this past year, we kind of came to not a grinding halt, but certainly things slowed down as a result of COVID and having to pivot and do so many things virtually. And it did slow down our efforts, but some of the things that we've been able to do over the past couple of years include we're able to get a keyword partnership with an organization called Crisis Text Line, which is an emergency text line that helps anyone 24/7. And we got a keyword for our area that's GULF, G-U-L-F. So if people text the word G-U-L-F, GULF, to 741-741 any time of the day or night, they can start a conversation with someone to help them. And it doesn't have to be a suicidal crisis. My belief is that any time we help someone at any point, that is suicide prevention, even if they're not in a suicidal crisis at that moment, because suicide is kind of the extreme end of the spectrum. And what we're trying to do is upstream intervention and stop them from getting to that point.
Absolutely phenomenal that we have that resource available now. So our keyword is GULF, G-U-L-F, to that 741-741 any time of the day or night. I think that is such a valuable resource, and talk about, you know, a huge step in the right direction. Like you said, just it on the very far end is that, you know, the ultimate, like an attempt. But in before that happens, a connection, a conversation, restoration of some type of hope can prevent or preclude that from needing to take place. So that sounds like an amazing win. Are there other, you know, like initiatives? Are you guys trying to pivot? I know 2020, like the rest of the world, just trying to figure out what we can do to keep serving people. What's that looking like this year?
Yeah, so we really have our sights set on 2021 and in doing some more planning and strategic planning and visioning in January when we get together. But some of the things that we're looking at, making more progress on a project that we've started over the last couple of years, linked to safe firearm storage, because a lot of people don't realize that when someone is suicidal, it's often a window of time, and sometimes a very brief window. There's a lot of evidence to support the fact that this window could be as little as 10 minutes of someone feeling actually actively suicidal, and that by restricting access to means, the means, and typically those that die by suicide die mostly by firearm, especially in our area. By restricting access to those means just for that moment in time, you can save a life. So it's not about, this is not a gun rights issue or anything like that. It's really just about keeping people safe when they're feeling suicidal.
And what an incredible way to think about it, you know, to frame it up. Like you said, it might not be the first thing on people's minds, but in that window, it could be the most important thing is, you know, access.
Right.
And that brought up a great point about our area in particular. We've talked, of course, all the time about how we, you know, appreciate and support our military servicemen and women. Do you see in your work with the suicide prevention, any particular resources that are made available to servicemen and women, or is that a focus that the coalition has?
Yeah, so the VA are a partner on the coalition, and there are a lot of resources available for suicide prevention through the VA. They do some great training. They have a lot of resource materials and online tools available to assist, as well as people available to assist someone who may be in a suicidal crisis or a mental health crisis. And they are partnering with us. And there is definitely we're really looking in 2021. It's pretty likely that we will have a kind of a task force or a work group that will focus on the veteran population and partner with others like the VA and those interested in the veteran population. For example, there's a group at UWF, they have a military and veteran resource center, and they're also partners on the coalition. And so we'll work together to continue to reduce veteran suicide. And there is some overlap as well with the safe firearm storage project and our focus on really reducing suicide for middle-aged males. White middle-aged males are the most vulnerable population when it comes to dying by suicide. They die at the highest rates in our area, and that's held up nationally also.
That brought up a point too. I was curious if you have support at national levels. I know sometimes there are, you know, 800 numbers or big like national suicide hotline, things like that. Have you found good partnerships there at like those larger chapters or organizations at that level?
Yeah, there are. I think that we have a combination, the coalition has a combination of partners who are with national organizations but working locally. There is really a focus on really trying to make sure that we have local resources available, but tapping into those national resources. And certainly I'm connected with our resources at the state level as well as nationally. I'm the director, the regional director for Region 1 for the Florida Suicide Prevention Coalition, which is a grassroots organization that works in suicide prevention in the state of Florida. And certainly we work closely with the statewide office of suicide prevention in Tallahassee. And then also, connecting the bigger organizations like the American Association of Suicidology and the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. They all have a national presence. So it is super important to have those connections and also the resources. I don't know if you're aware, but the government, the Congress just approved a new emergency three-digit number for mental health and suicide prevention crises. It's 988, but it won't be available until next year because it has to get into the system. But similarly to 911, in an individual mental health crisis can call the 988 number, and it will get them connected to resources similar to what the way the Suicide Prevention Lifeline works right now.
I had not heard that. That is incredible. At the same level as 911, but 988 for mental health crises.
Yeah.
I love hearing that we are having, advocacy at the grassroots level here in the state and the work you're leading all the way up to Congress, recognizing this truly epidemic of mental health issues going on in our nation and providing some resources. I imagine that even with, the partnerships, there's probably great need for the coalition when it comes to resources. Are there ways for people, just concerned citizens, people who have a heart for your mission, to become involved or to donate to help support the mission?
Yeah, absolutely. We love to get new partners. I have probably about 150 different people on an email distribution list. They can contact me, and I can definitely add them to that. We meet monthly at the moment, virtually, hopefully once again in person someday. We are working towards getting our 501c3 status, but don't have that yet. If someone wants to donate in the meantime, they certainly are welcome to do that, and we can hold it onto it, I guess, until we get that 501c3 status. There is another organization locally that also does work. They're a partner with us, and if you want to donate to suicide prevention, you can go to Pensacola Survivors. They are also a suicide prevention group.
Phenomenal. Well, congratulations on that endeavor of getting that 501c3. I know sometimes that process is not for the faint of heart, but it sounds like exactly the right place for the coalition to move next. And is there anything else, Rachel, that is either upcoming or that you would just really love for the community to know and understand about the work you're doing to eliminate suicide in our community?
The one thing that really strikes me that I want to tell people. And a lot of people think that suicide prevention is something that maybe specialists do, maybe mental health professionals do. But I'm trying to get the message out. We, the coalition, are trying to get the message out that everyone, all of us, are involved in suicide prevention and can be just by our interactions with people on a daily basis. A simple conversation and asking someone how they're doing and really listening. And if you're concerned about them, really talking with them and trying to connect them to resources. That is the most important thing that we can do. Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility, and it's also within everyone's reach. We can help other people just by asking them how they are and helping them connect to something if they're not doing okay.
I think that's a great message. Everyone's responsibility and within everyone's reach. And Rachel, thank you so much for joining me this morning to share a little bit more about the Escarosis Suicide Prevention Coalition and the work that you are doing there. And I greatly appreciate it and wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much.